just shooting straight with you, I was listening to NPR today on the way into church. And driving down Highway ZZ, there's a new lullaby out. It's called Two Mothers Are Better Than One. Ladies and gentlemen, the world we live in does not seem to get the reality of the importance of God giving us whole families with a father who loves the Lord and a mother who loves dad and loves the kids. So I thank you. I thank you. I realize that people who don't know Jesus don't think the way I think. They don't read the book we read. But our homes, our families, they need you, godly moms, grandmas, great-grandmas, big sisters. They need you. We need you. Our world needs you now. So in the smallest of ways, take a wheat fiber mug and make a wonderful drink as a reminder that says, I have a high calling from heaven. Okay? Great. One last thing, WMU meets Tuesday, 10 a.m. in the Barnabas Room. Y'all come. Terry.
Using the Christian Standard Bible, verses 1 through 7. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can anyone be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus answered, Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, be born again. Father, this is your word, and as Gary comes to preach, this is the man that you called to preach, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit anoint us in such a way that you will speak to us through this message. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, we're in a series that we're calling Membership 101. And what we're saying is we just want to go back to a few of the basics that explain to us what makes us different. I just mentioned we're not like everybody else, and we don't want to be. We think there's answers in this book. We think there's a lifestyle that gives honor to the Lord and is a blessing to us. And so we're touching that, and it kind of is growing out of my limited understanding of the will of God. It has been very helpful for me, as I study the Scripture, to think of God's will in kind of three ways. There's God's sovereign will, and the word sovereign means nobody corrects you. You have the final say. God had the final say whether or not he would create our world. God had the final say whether or not he would create men and women. God had the final say that when Adam and Eve turned against him, that he would put them out of the garden and begin another way of redemption. God has a final say about when he's going to bring this world to an end. Jesus himself said, no man knows the hour. Not even the Son of Man, only God the Father, the sovereign creator and Lord of all the universe, is going to decide when we're done. Okay. There's a second category I call God's universal will, or God's desires for everybody. And we're going to learn something. Everybody get your teaching device out. We're going to talk about the thumb today, and these all have the letter S, salvation. And the reason we're so special is we have opposable thumbs. The other creation closest to us, the primates, they don't have that. We're the only people who can do this. So salvation is the thumb that touches everything else we're going to talk about. If you don't got your thumb working, life is hard, okay? So the thumb is salvation. Pointer is spiritual growth. See, God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to grow up spiritually. Tall man is service. Ring finger is sharing our faith and our testimony. That's often the weak one. There's a reason. You know the thing. Try to raise all the fingers. You can't do that. It's harder. And then the pinky is stewardship. So we have salvation impacts our spiritual growth. Salvation is the reason why we do service. Because we're saved is why we share the good news with other people. And because God saved us and loved us and made this world for us, he's made us stewards of all of his creation. We're the stuff managers for heaven for now. Okay? So get used to that. I expect to see you in the hallway, and it's not going to be sign language. It's going to be going, okay, we're going to learn this stuff. It's important. It's good. All right? So Jesus told Nicodemus, "Do not be amazed. I told you, you must be born again." And that is one of those salvation equals being born again. By the way, if you're looking, suffering, A-E-I-O-U and sometimes Y, remember that? Salvation, spiritual growth, service, sharing, and stewardship, and sometimes suffering. Because God glorifies himself in ways that you and I don't understand through the crucible of suffering. Just ask Jim Flora. Just ask Brother Max. There's a story in a chapter of our life that sometimes only comes through suffering. So, salvation is this idea of the new birth. God chose to create a way of salvation that we could be born again, is that language out of John. Or as 1 Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us a new birth into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." Okay, I'm going to go fast because I want to respect everybody's time, but there is a 5-question quiz at the end. I told you, we're going to take the quiz. Now, this is the easy one because we're all going to do this as a group. But I'm going to ask you to vote. You can raise your hand if you want to, or you can give me the thumbs up, or like my dad always said, if you want a secret ballot, you just go like this, okay? Either way, you can have a secret ballot if you want. But there's 5 questions at the end, and if you'll just kind of hang with me through this, we're all going to do just fine. But the intent of this is to say, hey, I want to know everybody here, touch base with the most important theme of God's holy word. You must be born again. Okay? Now, I'm taking this huge topic that is just permeated in all of the story of the Bible, and I'm telling you, I'm trying to lump it together in simple ways that we can all hang on to. I figure if I can get it and I can explain it sorta, you got it, okay? So we're going to look at it in 2 pieces. We're going to talk about the confession of faith, and then we're going to talk about a profession of faith. These are kind of Bible words. These are kind of church words. But if you don't understand like these 2 big chunks of this doctrine of salvation, there's a gap there. Let's look at it. The word confession, I want you to know, is the Greek word homologeo. Logeo means to speak, to talk, to say. And homo means the same. So the essence of the confession of faith, and I'll explain a little more in a minute, but here's the end up front. The essence of it is, for us to be saved, we must say about Jesus Christ what God says about Jesus Christ. We must say the same thing. So then the question is, well, what does the Heavenly Father say about the Lord Jesus Christ? I take us to a familiar passage that you've heard over and over again. It's in the book of Philippians, where Paul is quoting an early Christian hymn. And he says, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not consider his equality with God something to be used, something to use for advantage, to exploit, to grab a hold of selfishly. That's one Greek word with a lot of flavor in it. In other words, Jesus is equal with God in heaven. He's part of the Trinity, but he didn't hang on to that for his own selfish purposes. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, and he took on the likeness of humanity. That's Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That little baby in the manger was not just another cute kid. It was God's own Son who stepped out of eternity and immortality and took upon himself the clothes of humanity. It goes on, and when he had become as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. In other words, it couldn't get worse than that. He did that for us. For this reason. Now remember, Jesus was so high and he came so low. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the content of the confession of faith. That is what God says about Jesus Christ. The question is that what you say about Jesus? Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon. You didn't understand that. God revealed that to you. And there's more. We just finished the Gospel of John at Easter, and I keep coming back to Thomas's statement. Everyone else had rejected him. Everyone else kind of said, wow, there's a happy ending with the resurrection. Thomas said, unless you let me poke the nail hands and pierce, put my hand in the rawness of that broken flesh, I won't believe. And I'm telling you, Jesus came right at him and said, well, here, check it out. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Thomas verbalizes for us the ultimate of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that moment in our own life where we just know he's not just a good moral teacher. He wasn't a great guy from ages past. He isn't the guy walking around with the long hair and the robes and the sandals. He's the guy who's in the business of life. He deals with the rawness and ugliness of sin. And he says, I'm not just Jesus the man. I'm not just the Messiah, the Christ that a few were looking for. I am the Master. I am the Lord. You put your faith in me, and my shed blood atones for your sin. You put your faith in me, and I'll put my spirit in you, and you will walk in a whole new, different kind of life. But it only happens when you in your heart of hearts come to realize that I can't save myself, that I'm a sinner deserving of God's worst condemnation, that I don't have the ability to even do the good things I want to do. Seems like Paul said, every time I have a good idea, I just mess it up and ruin it the other way. The sin I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. The good things I do want to do, that's exactly what I don't do. I can't save myself. I need Jesus to come into my heart and my life. I confess him as Lord, and he rocks my world. 1 Corinthians, now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. You know, when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by idols. But I want you to know, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is cursed. Somebody comes up to you and says, that Jesus is a nobody, that Jesus is a loser, that Jesus is a false prophet, and look at how he's led the world astray. Look at all the sin done in the name of Christianity. Yeah, that's true, but anybody who tells you Jesus is not who God says he is wrong. And that's not the Holy Spirit talking. Paul says, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit drawing us to him. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, of our unrighteousness and his righteousness, and the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. It's the same thing we mentioned last week in Romans. If you confess with your mouth, what does it say? Jesus is Lord. Are you noticing a pattern here? I'm not quoting all of these things just for fun, and I didn't have time to write them all out, but if you confess Jesus as Lord with your heart, you believe, resulting in righteousness, and with your mouth you confess. You say the same thing. And God says in Scripture that results in salvation. The confession that Jesus is Lord is the act or the understanding that we have of God's redemptive gospel. The man, Jesus, was indeed the Messiah. He is now the Master and Lord, not only of all the universe, but of your heart and soul and mind and strength. In other words, there's this moment where you choose to believe, where you yield and submit to him. It's when you no longer trust yourself and you say that you will follow and obey him. And that's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born again. It's not believing about Jesus, it's believing in Jesus. It's saying about Jesus Christ what God the Father says about Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to come to the Father but by him. And brother, sister, you either believe it or you don't. You're not kind of, sort of, thinking about it, maybe hoping so. Has there been that moment in your world when you flipped the switch and said, I no longer trust me, I'm trusting him? And that settles it. Well, I'm going to skip a few things just because we're going to go there, but I want to use that word ichthus at the bottom. That's a Greek word for fish. What does that have to do with the sermon, the salvation? They would draw, you know, when Rome was out persecuting people and they didn't know who was a Christian and who wasn't, they would go down by the beach and they would draw an ark in the sand. And if another person saw that ark and they were a Christian, they would draw that other half of that ark, you know, that made the symbol of a fit. A lot of Christians have it on their bumper sticker, you know, or a keychain or a jewelry piece. Ichthus is the word for fish, and you're going to have to trust me, but it is the Greek acrostic that says God's Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Ichthus, the I is Iesus, the C is for Christ, Christos. TH is theos, which is God. We get theology. You hear the TH sound. U is weos. That's the little first word of the word son. And then S was sartos, savior, something like that. Okay? So the amazing thing about it was Christians could identify each other with that little shorthand way of saying, this is what the gospel is. Jesus Christ is God's Son, not only the Savior of the world, but my Savior. ichthus. You might see that on a test. All right. That's the confession. Have you confessed Jesus as Lord? You know, I believe people can confess Christ sitting in church without ever making a public decision. I think you can be on your deathbed because God knows your heart. You may not be able to communicate to everybody else, but you are talking with God when you're hurting that bad. And all it takes is somebody to say, in my heart, I believe. With my mouth, I confess. I say the same thing. I don't know what another person does because I'm not in your head. But here's the reality. The things that are important to us on the inside usually work their way to the outside. And this is the second part of this, that profession of faith. That comes from a Greek word that means to announce. And we really talk about the word baptize at this point, which means to dip under or to immerse. I don't know what other people think or feel, but I can listen to what other people say and I can watch what other people do. And we say, if you have confessed Christ as Lord, we encourage you to profess him in front of other people that he is your Lord, because we can listen to what you say and we can watch what you do. Paul talks about this. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are baptized by one spirit into one body. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free, we're given one spirit to drink. People will talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Basically means the Holy Spirit drew you to Christ and dunked you into Jesus. And we picture that up here in our church with a big tank of water where we show people how you got saved. Jesus came into the world. He died on the cross. He was buried for our sins. And he rose again triumphantly. There's Christmas and Easter all at once. And when a person walks into that baptistry, what they are telling us is that I too have trusted Jesus. I'm not trusting this water to wash away my sin, but I'm trusting Jesus who died and was buried and rose again to be my Savior, my Lord. It happened on the inside of me, and I want you to know all about it. Peter said, Christ once suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And then he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, saves you. Now hear me very carefully. Other people have read that verse and said, oh, if I get baptized, I'm saved. Ladies and gentlemen, if I baptize you, you get wet. It's water. It's a living picture, though, of an eternal reality that's real in our lives. We died and we were buried with Christ. And because we were dead in Christ and that Spirit of Jesus lives in him that raised Christ from the dead, if that Spirit lives in us, we too have hope of eternal life. I say that at funeral after funeral after funeral. Christians are the only people who get together in the cemetery and say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Can I put that in Ozark language? We sing a happy song at the funeral. You know how it goes? Here it is. Na, 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 na. Because we have hope. If we were baptized into Christ, and that Spirit that raised Jesus is the same Holy Spirit he gave us, we have hope. God sovereignly made a way of salvation by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. God decided to do that. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's God's gift. Don't go bragging about it. Wasn't God loving toward us? But when we confess him, when we say what God says about him, he becomes the Lord of our life. And he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Once we come to that place in our heart, we announce it to the world through our testimony of conversion and our public obedience in being baptized. And in doing that, we picture death, burial, and resurrection, which is the only hope of glory, Christ in us. Church members who belong to the family of God need to be born again. Nicodemus, how is it that you're a Pharisee? How is it that you hold all the offices in the temple? How is it that you're so smart and you haven't gotten the basic facts? You must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, that comes down to the question for us today. Have you made a confession of faith? Has there been that moment in your life where you say, I choose out of everybody else who could or would be God, I choose Jesus? Have you told other people about it? We in our church, we give an invitation often. We haven't done it so much at COVID. That's not the goal. There's no ritual that says you got to walk down front, shake the preacher's hand, sign the card, da-da-da. Okay, that's okay, but that's the result of what happened, not what happened. Has it happened? Have you been born again? Are you willing to tell other people about it? Because in order to join the church, we ask you to come in through the waters of baptism, which says we all agree on this is how a person is saved. This is how a person comes to know Jesus in a real and personal way. This is how you know you have hope. And I take you back to Acts 2 for our last little scripture excursion. Peter at Pentecost, he's telling all the people who were there, you crucified the Messiah. You thought you were doing God's will. You served the devil when you did it. But God is bigger than that. And he ends his sermon by saying, I want everybody in the world to know that this Jesus that you crucified, God has made Lord and Messiah. There it is. Jesus is Lord. And the people listening to him said, brothers, what should we do? What do we do now? And Peter said, you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Based on the forgiveness of your sins, you tell the whole world what's happened to you. And then they immediately got together in the house of the Lord and they started studying the Bible and listening to the apostles and fellowshipping with one another. See, they had salvation, right? And then they began to grow spiritually and then they began to serve one another and they began to share their faith and they began to be stewards of the life that God has given them. And they began to fulfill God's desire for all of us. Wow. Would you pray with me just a moment? Let's pray. Lord, you know, we can become familiar with the message. We can come be familiar with the story so quickly. And after a while, it kind of sounds like everything else where we kind of thought about it a while and then we moved on to something else. And our phones keep us pretty occupied these days. But there is no more important question for anybody in this room or anybody listening on Facebook or anywhere else, Lord. Have you been born again? And Lord, I would pray that as God's Spirit has quickened hearts, even as they've listened to this simple message, I pray that men and women, boys and girls would just bow their head and say, I choose Jesus. In my heart, I believe he is God's son. He came and he died for my sin. I ask that that forgiveness be real in my life, and I let him into my life to be the Lord, to be the master, the one I will follow. Lord, I wish there was a magic prayer that did that, but you listen to our hearts. And if someone here today is struggling with that simple decision, Lord, just hear their heart. Lord, help them verbalize it the best they know how, but Lord, may this essence be there. They say about Jesus what you say about Jesus. He is your son, the Savior of the world, and their Savior because they've asked him into their heart. And Lord, once that has happened to us, it matters that we profess that we announce that we let other people through our words and our deeds know that we've invited Christ into our heart. If there's one who wishes today to say, hey, I've chosen him, I believe. Others may come and they say, well, you know, I had good intentions, but I never followed through. I never publicly was baptized to picture who I'm trusting as my Savior. Lord, we don't want to make a big deal of it, and yet it is a big deal. We want to accommodate that and be there to help people be obedient. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just ask you to respect the privacy of other people. If there's one here wrestling with that decision today about accepting Christ into your life or nailing down that decision, not going to embarrass you. We're not having a public invitation, but we're always available. Would you just let this old guy know, let this preacher know that I could pray for you? Brother Gary, I'm thinking of that. I'm praying about that. I want that to be real in my life. Just an uplifted hand up and down, and we'll close our prayer. Anybody, anywhere. Super. Thank you. Yeah. God, thank you for this good news of the gospel that's able to take the very worst that is in us and turn it into something divine and great that we never thought possible. Bless each one who hears these words. Grant us the ability to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, team, it's test time. Real quick, true or false? Number one, the church is the setting where believers help each other find and experience the will of God. If you think that's true, secret ballot, however, yeah? If you think that's false, it's true. I think it's true. I hope you got that. Okay? Number two. See, this isn't this hard. The confession of faith is Jesus is a great person. Is that true? Is that false? He wasn't a great person? He was, but that's not the confession of faith. What is the confession of faith? Jesus is Lord. Got it. Good. Question number three. Early Christians used the symbol of a fish as an acrostic to describe the gospel. True or false? Yeah, you remember that. Can anyone say the Greek word? Yeah, okay. Ichthus. Ichthus. Yeah, I know that. I get that's a little picky. I don't expect you to be Greek scholars, and I won't say I am. Number four, true or false? Baptism tells other people what has happened in our heart. True? False? True? Y'all are kind of slowing down here, a little less enthusiastic. That's true. Baptism, the water doesn't save us, but the picture corresponds to what Jesus did that does save us, okay? And then number five, church members just need to be good people and not worry about all that born-again stuff. What do you think? False. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look.